Light rain and 54 in Wausau. It's rain and 54 in Marshfield, cloudy and 53 in Point, and cloudy and 55 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
And it's time now for another issue of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management. Pete Bry is in, and Pete and I were talking about the Badgers' heartbreak loss to Syracuse last night.
Yeah.
It was a fun game. It was a great game. I mean, they did themselves proud in the fact that they gave Syracuse everything they could handle. But it's just one of those games where you can think back and go, oh, we've done this, we did this. You said, I tend to agree with you, you'd much rather get beat by 20 than lose by one like that.
Yeah, because there's, as you previously mentioned, when you miss five free throws and you miss four layups and if this and that and if the ref would have given, you know, there's just so many one plays, and, you know, I think everybody wants to fixate on the last 15 seconds, but, you know, I think a lot of times people often forget that the other team is actually trying to win too.
And they also have players.
Well, and they have players and they have strategy, and I don't think there would have been a Wisconsin fan that went to bet that Taylor was going to take that last shot, and I would guess that Syracuse maybe thought the same.
Yeah. So, but it was a great season. Another great congratulations to Bo Ryan and the gang, and also to Marquette and Buzz. And hey, it ended, but hey, we made it to the Sweet 16. There's a lot of schools that wish they could get that far or even get invited to the tournament.
Yeah, without a doubt. I guess what's gone on in general in the sports world of Wisconsin is the bar is so high between the Brewers, the Packers, Wisconsin football, Wisconsin basketball, Marquette basketball. They've all played at almost the highest level, and so we're now, the bar is winning championships, going to the Final Four, winning the Rose Bowl, and, you know, when it doesn't happen. But let me tell you, if that's our worst sports problems, we're still in great shape.
Yeah, I agree. Now, we have a very interesting topic for you folks today because of the nature of the way the market is going, and specifically things like mutual funds or money markets and the like. We're going to talk about alternative investments. So our economics professor, Peter Bry, will give us a primer on alternative investing. Let's talk about that, Pete. First off, what are they?
Well, in our continual attempt to try and educate the listening public, I thought it would be pretty interesting to talk about this. When we look at the financial and managing portfolios for a long, long time, your traditional investments were common stocks, bonds, municipals or governments or corporates, and cash. And so that was kind of your lineup of what you had to choose for. Well, as the world's become more sophisticated and as the wirehouses have continued to need more ways of raising capital and using money, alternative investments have come into play. And alternative investments, just let me on the non-financial type of alternative investments, would be things like art. People collect wine, antiques.
Sport collectibles is big. Coins,
yeah. Sports collectibles. Obviously, we all rue the idea that our mother threw out the brand new Mickey Mantle card because now it's worth a lot of money.
Or that Robin Yount rookie card.
Right. Stamps. Film production, where, you know, institutional investors, high net worth people would invest in these type of things so that they weren't necessarily correlated to the ups and downs of the market, that because they had their own unique value, you continue to get something in your portfolio that probably was going up oftentimes when the market was going down.
Okay.
Right? For purposes today, I thought what we'd do is talk a little bit more on the financial alternative investments, and the motivation, obviously, I think for the financial alternatives, where then it gave people that weren't worth $100 million and above, or weren't worth, you know, high net worth, or wasn't an institutional investor, ways to play in these different alternative investments in a manner that they could afford. Because what we've seen is, like, in certain of these venues, you need to have a net worth over $1 million, or you may have to put in $1 million to participate, which really excludes the vast majority of people who can do that. And what we want to talk a little bit about today is, how do you, as investors who want to diversify your portfolio, get into some of these things? Because what we'll see is that alternative investments usually have a very low correlation to the activity of the stock market. So correlation basically means how investments act in harmony. So that if an investment, say, in a private equity, mm-hmm. Had a correlation of 1 to the stock market, that means for every dollar that the stock market would go up, the private equity would go up a dollar.
Okay.
All right. If the correlation was greater than 1, it means it would go up quicker than the stock market. If it's less than 1, it would go less than the stock market. So when the market is going up, everything's great. But when the market goes down and you get your monthly statements and then you painfully look at the amount of money that your portfolio decreased, in light of 2000, mm-hmm. in light of 2008, mm-hmm. In light of last summer, you know, people are becoming very weary of those massive reductions in equity. And so there's more search for, well, can I have something that will return relatively handsomely, mm-hmm. but I don't have these wild swings? Or if my stock portfolio is going down, do I have something that minimally is going down less than the stock market, or maybe even going up? So that's why we want to talk, I think, a little today on the financial side of this.
And if you want to talk personally with the professionals at Buena Vista Investment Management here in Wisconsin Rapids, their number is 715-422-0700. And, again, they're located right behind the post office on 241 3rd. It's not that really cool little office building right there, and they're really easy to get into, and you can stop by and talk with them about your investment questions and options. Okay, let's talk about some of the most popular alternative investments. One is for folks that would like to own maybe some property or something that brings in income, but they're not into maintenance.
Yep, that's what we call a REIT, which stands for Real Estate Investment Trust. And the beauty of these is that you can own something in the real estate world without having the headaches of finding tenants, finding the people to fix the toilets and re-roof and things like that. And these particular type of investments trade not only on the New York Exchange, but you can get into what's known as non-traded REITs, where they're kind of partnerships. Within that spectrum, kind of what you're looking at is an investment whereby the majority of the free cash flow is distributed to the investor. And so it's not uncommon to not have the headaches of managing, but again, depending on the time frame, getting yields of currently maybe as low as 3% and as high as 7%.
Wow.
Which is obviously, in light of our past discussions about the search for yield, those are interesting.
Right.
And you know, if they're well managed and done correctly, that those yields for a lot of the better ones continue to increase. So you get a pay increase for being part of the situation. Now, again, and when you look at that, it depends on, there's very few. There's mutual funds that'll invest across the entire spectrum of real estate, but a lot of these REITs are real estate specific. In that, I mean, there might be apartment REITs,
right,
which have done extremely well. Obviously, if you look over the last 5 years, and there's been no bigger topic than the collapse in housing,
right?
People losing their homes, which obviously for the home market has been devastating, and it had an effect on the entire economy. But that doesn't mean people don't need a place to live. And so what we've seen is a tremendous growth in the apartment side.
Right.
And so as an investor, if you continue to believe that that is going to be the case, the apartment REITs would be one way to go. Then you have office REITs, which are basically commercial enterprises who decide not to own their real estate, but rather to occupy the real estate and pay rent, and so that they don't have all the expense of maintaining a building. You have storage facilities, which is one of the great real estate plays, because quite frankly, there's very little maintenance involved. You're not fixing toilets, you're not redoing the drapes or putting in new carpet, and so the fundamental overhead of operating those are quite low, but the rents are relatively dependable. You get a little rent increase each year, and there's not a lot involved in those. Those tend to be really good, and there's two or three different options there. So whether it's corporate apartments, you can get REITs that are specifically in malls and strip malls, or other bigger malls type of thing. And so there's a wide variety to play it. And again, good yield. No management on your part, and you can. These tend to go down less than the S&P 500. So going back to correlation, their correlation is lower, so they don't go down as much in bad markets, and in the interim, you get paid.
Okay. We're talking about alternative investments on Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management. Back with more right after this.
I need you.
I need you.
$1 out of every 7 spent on Medicare is paid inappropriately due to error, fraud, or abuse.
My father needs you.
You can help preserve Medicare and save Wisconsin taxpayer dollars by becoming a Wisconsin SMP volunteer. Senior Medicare Patrol volunteers help seniors and their advocates to become better health care consumers.
My grandmother needs you.
Training is provided, and you can offer assistance in many ways. Answer questions about Medicare, hand out information at local fairs, or even perform clerical duties to help. Your community needs you. Call 800-488-2596. By becoming a Wisconsin SMP volunteer, you protect the integrity of the Medicare program and those who need it. Learn more at wisconsinsmp.org or call 800-488-2596. The Coalition of Wisconsin Aging Groups, empowering seniors to prevent health care fraud.
Hi, I'm Zach Verwink, and I want to be your next mayor. I grew up here, and I'm proud to call Wisconsin Rapids my home. As someone who started and grew a successful business in this city, I am aware of the current challenges we face, as well as the opportunities to get our economy moving again. I sincerely believe our best and brightest days are ahead. It's time to renew Rapids, and with your support, on Tuesday, April 3rd, we can take the first step. Please vote Zach Verwink for mayor. Paid for by the committee to elect Zach Verwink, Tom Bry, treasurer.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
This afternoon we'll be seeing mostly cloudy skies and a chance of some scattered showers with light winds, as our highs will be making it into the middle 60s. For tonight, skies will be mostly cloudy. We'll continue with a slight chance of an isolated shower with light winds. Lows will be in the lower 50s. And then for Saturday, we'll see some breaks in the clouds at times with a slight chance of an isolated shower through the morning. Highs will reach into the middle 60s. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Cloudy and 55 here at AM 1320. Welcome back to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management. Your investment professionals, Peter Bryce in the studio as always. And if you want to talk to the professionals at Buena Vista Investment Management, give them a call at 715-422-0700. 422-0700. Today's topic is alternative investments. We just talked about real estate investment trusts. Let's throw in another term people hear a lot about on financial news. Hedge funds. Sounds like something I got to get out of my garden.
Well, that could be the case and stuff. But hedge funds are obviously very much a part of the landscape right now. And hedge funds are interesting for several different factors. Basically, they're professionally managed funds. And for some reason, the SEC regulation isn't quite a, hasn't been quite as strenuous for these type of funds, and so the gamut of what they can do, what they choose to do in terms of investing, is all over the board. When they first were started, a hedge fund was by definition a portfolio where a gentleman or whoever managed the portfolio would, if he felt oil was going higher, he might go long oil, whether it's stocks or futures or whatever, and then maybe he would short the airlines or short something in the transportation sector so that essentially he would benefit from the people who didn't appreciate higher oil prices. Mm-hmm. And he would also benefit from the actual commodity going up. And so that's where the term originally started, all right?
Okay.
But what's gotten in now is that with all the various things that hedge funds don't always hedge. and so, you know, a couple years ago, a gentleman by the name of John Paulson was lauded as the great guru. You know, he made $1 billion in the mortgage market by being short the mortgage market. The next year he made $1 billion in the gold market. Well, last year he decided that, you know, his big position would be in the banks. Well, the banks didn't do as well. Gold went down, which was one of his big positions. So we're seeing where in the past true hedge funds really weren't as volatile in terms of your up great, your down great. Now they've become much more volatile because a lot of the times they don't hedge their positions. And so when you take a big bet and you have 10%, 15%, 20% of your portfolio in one play, it's brilliant on the way up, but it's not quite as smart on the way down and things. And so, what is what traditionally in hedge funds is that you probably had to invest, you know, upward of $1 million to get in a hedge fund.
Okay.
The hedge fund then would take 2% of the fees, 2% of the money they were managing was their fees, and then they would participate in 20% of the profits. So it was, you know, very expensive, and they were being charging a lot for their expertise, which when they were outperforming the market was an extremely great move. But when you don't outperform, that's not as good. What's going on now is that there are mutual funds and exchange-traded funds, ETFs, that you can buy into at very modest amounts, sometimes as low as $2,500, where you can participate in the hedge fund activities without the high high standards of a million or things like that. So if you do your research, there are some funds out there that if you, this is something you want to participate in, and again, because of the nature of this, this is obviously something you wouldn't put a majority or put a portfolio in, but there are a lot of extremely smart and talented guys out there, and it's an interesting way to get a little more return on your portfolio, especially if you're not really looking for distributions.
Okay, care to give us any examples, or in lieu of that, could you give us what to watch out for when you're investing in a hedge fund?
I think what you want to really do is if you're going to buy a mutual fund or an ETF or in general, mm-hmm. is you gotta basically understand their investment philosophy, because a lot of times hedge funds use a lot of leverage. They go out and they borrow money to put into the investment. So they have a basic equity piece, but then they layer it with debt. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, debt doesn't disappear, so that in the cases where the position goes against you, you either have to sell it at a right. loss mm-hmm. or add more equity. So you want to know how much leverage that the firm is able to use. You want to know essentially what their realm of what they can invest in, and how risky is it? You know, if you're investing in the futures of a market like Turkey or some of these mm-hmm. illiquid markets, you know, or things like that, are they short selling? Are they basically doing some of the deals of the traditional purpose of hedge funds? Are they hedging their risk so that your losses are mitigated? And they can be all over the board. But what if you find the right situation, the correlation is very low. These can be up in a market that is down, and theoretically should be more times than not. Two, the expertise of these people are much, much greater than the average person, because they're on the front lines. Their Rolodex is wide. You know, these are the guys that sometimes are hiring people in Washington to listen in with the congressman okay. and that, so they know what's going on. They've got analysts. And so you're buying a lot of expertise in that.
And when you are looking for expertise in your financial future or in your investment portfolio, give the pros at Buena Vista Investment Management a call here in Wisconsin Rapids at 715-422-0700. During the noon report, you always hear about the commodities picture, what the commodities are doing. Well, there is a thing called the Managed Futures Account. What's that?
Well, essentially, again, it takes a concept similar to what we've talked about, where you get a professional money manager who directs the investment. He picks, he chooses based on his models and his forecasts and his signals, and they invest in a lot of things that the individual wouldn't want to invest in their own. They may invest in the agricultural markets. They could go either long or short in those. They could invest in the metal markets, the interest rate markets, the currency markets, which obviously can be very volatile. Mm-hmm. If you're on the right side, they can be very lucrative. But as an individual, there is a great deal of risk. In this area, I'm sure there, a lot of the farmers are involved potentially in the future market in a specific crop. If
Correct.
You grow wheat or corn,
cranberries.
Cranberries, you can go into the future market and buy contracts where you can get a set price for your crop, or a guarantee a set price for your crop. Now, obviously, if the price goes higher in the open market, you're set for that price. But, again, if you're a farmer and you've been doing it for years, you know what a pretty good price is versus what it isn't. For the individual who doesn't want to who speculates and doesn't necessarily want three cargoes of wheat down his front yard because the contract expired and you've got to take delivery, or two tankers of oil in your backyard. What these do is allow you to play in that particular market with expertise. And again, it is very common for when the market, the stock market is down, that the futures market is up because of what they can invest in and things like that nature. So a lot of the top mutual fund, PIMCO, for example, and Goldman Sachs, and a lot of the top groups have mutual funds that deal in commodity and manage commodity returns. And, you know, to have 3 to 5% of your portfolio in commodities is a nice diversification.
Okay. And then a term that we've been hearing a lot of, venture capital and venture capitalists. And this is another alternative investment opportunity.
Yeah, you know, the broad category there, Carl, is private equity. And private equity was something that until Governor Romney decided to run for presidency, I don't think a lot of people realized what it was. And private equity is essentially a group, a partnership, a organization who will come in and purchase a company, which is more times than not is either a company that is publicly traded and when they buy it goes off the exchange, or it's a company that is privately held now, or a company where you reference venture capital is a startup company.
Mm-hmm.
And so these particular companies, and again, the reason President Romney, I guess that's a Freudian thing there,
yeah.
But the reason Governor Romney and his IRA is so big is that the returns here are extraordinary. Again, you're taking high risk, but the returns are quite high. Over the last 25 years, some of the top funds have averaged over 30% a year. Now, you think about you think about the rule of 72 of how long it takes to double your money. These guys are doubling their money in 2.5 years, and you know, you start going from $1 million to $2 million, but it starts growing pretty fast here. There's a variety of different segments under private equity. There's leverage buyouts where you put a lot of the company puts a lot of debt on the line. There's venture capital, which are startups, and things like that. For those investors interested in private equity, there's two ways to play it. If you want to play it in the stock market, KKR, which stands for Colbert, Gravis and Roberts, which is a long-term, long-standing operation, they have a privately traded stock. Blackstone, which is another the peak of the market in 2007, it was when Blackstone went public.
Right.
And then there's an ETF which has all the publicly traded private equity companies called Global Listed Private Equity. That is another way to do it. Or you can, you know, a real interesting thing, and I hope something that really gets up and going around here is the venture capital, because these are the people who are on the front lines, get new companies going,
right,
and try and develop that. And obviously in this area, new dynamic companies would be very welcome. And, you know, when you look back to things like Renaissance Learning and Northland Cranberries, those all started out as small companies and through investors, private equity investors, ended up becoming publicly traded companies.
I guess the final one that people will hear a lot about is limited partnerships.
There's something called master limited partnerships, which is 78% basically in the oil industry. And what these are, again, is a chance for the investor as a limited partnership to participate in a particular enterprise. And the benefits to them are, again, yield. Because of all the expenses and revenues basically pass through to the limited partnerships on a K-1, you essentially are going to get outsized dividend distributions, all right? And so it's not uncommon to see distributions greater than the actual earnings per share. We've seen in these particular markets, again, anywhere from 4 to 13% a year. You need to be somewhat cautious because those distributions are a byproduct of what's going on in the operations. But, again, as a income generator, as a way to get into something that you couldn't, master limited partnerships are definitely something that we consider and we look at, and the individual investors should.
And that's why you should call Buena Vista Investment Management at 715-422-0700.